We'll be reading from Proverbs 27, 17 to 21. Proverbs 27, 17 to 21. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be honored. As in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals a man. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him.
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning, to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. We do want to say that if you are visiting with us, that you are indeed our honored guests, and we are thankful for you being here. I do want to say this before we get started, that it is definitely a blessing to be in Christ. A blessing to know that our sins have been washed away, and that when we ask God to forgive us, we know for a fact that He is faithful and He is just to forgive. We have been having a great time talking about the book of Proverbs and how it helps the family. And one thing I do know for a fact, that one of the greatest commodities, one of the greatest assets that we have, is our family. I know when you look at your spouse, or you look at your children, or perhaps your mother and father, doesn't matter how old they may be, there's a sense of joy there, hopefully. There's a sense of understanding. And hopefully these lessons that we have been talking about for the last couple of weeks in the book of Proverbs have been challenging. Hopefully they have been encouraging. Hopefully we will take something away from these lessons that will help us to be just better. And really, that's what God wants. God wants us to be a better people. And when we consider the very last lesson as it relates to proverbial wisdom for the family, I want us to hurriedly get into the book of Proverbs. And eventually, we'll get to the text that was read. But when we think about the family, and the blessing of the family, and how we ought to be encouraging one another. The family is that unit that encourages each other to be the best that they can be, to be a moral people, to be an upright people, to be a people that honors Almighty God. We know that there is a standard that God has given us. And that standard that He has given us, friends, is that book that you brought with you, or perhaps your electronic copy of God's Word. That's the standard that God has given us. And friends, we always want to make sure that in our family, that we are searching out those things that God's Word teaches us in order to be an upright people. Doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes from time to time, but we know who to go to when those mistakes are made. We know for a fact that God wants us to be a people that are searching for Him. And friends, we know that God, as He has concealed Himself in His Word, the only way that we can find Him, we have to go to the Word of God to find out who He is. So, I want us to begin with some thoughts. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 21, there are many things that we chase after in this life. Some of those things, there's nothing wrong with it. But we understand that we have to take care of our families. We understand that we need to take care of our bodies. And friends, when we think about those things, God's Word teaches us that we ought to be a people who are chasing after things. I'll be honest with you, I hear those babies crying and it's a blessing. I remember those days. I remember those days when our babies were crying all of the time sometimes. You look back at those times, and I look back and I miss those days at times, but I'm glad that they're grown. I'm glad that they're up there now. But still, what a blessing it is to know that we have babies that are crying. We want to encourage you as young families, you continue to stay with your children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and teach them these principles that we're going to be talking about on this morning. And I guarantee you, you would rather hear the crying now than to hear the crying later. In Proverbs 21 and verse number 21, notice what Solomon says here. He who follows, he who pursues, he who chases righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. Friends, there are some things that we ought to be chasing. And there's nothing wrong with, again, going after a good job. There's nothing wrong with going after the things of this world, per se. But friends, let us always keep in mind to keep our priorities in order. Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. If you will, turn your Bibles there. I have 3 points that I'm going to hurriedly get to. I just want to bring these particular points across in hopes that it will help us to realize and to continue to keep in our minds and in our hearts what we ought to be pursuing. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse number 11, Paul tells Timothy some great news. And friends, even though he's talking to a gospel preacher, I believe that all of us can fit in this particular realm. He says, but you, O man of God, flee these things, those things in which he just finished talking about, running after greed. Don't run after those things. But if anything, you ought to be running or pursuing these things. Notice righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Those are the things we ought to be pursuing at home, right? Those are the things that ought to be as a foundation in our families. And friends, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll run after everything but these. I want us to be reminded that the book of Proverbs, and now Paul tells Timothy, these are the things you need to be pursuing after. I know as a gospel teacher, as a gospel preacher, that if I'm not pursuing these things in my life at times, I find myself off track. I find myself not being focused. I find myself not on the straight and narrow path. Friends, as families, let us be mindful to pursue after these things, to follow these things, to flee the things that we saw earlier in those passages, but run and pursue after these things. But then notice in verse number 12, he says, fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Friends, there are some things that we ought to be fighting for. We ought to fight for our marriages. We ought to fight for our children. We ought to fight for dignity and integrity and honor in the family. We ought to fight for those things. We don't lay back and just allow the devil to take hold of our families. No, no ma'am, no sir. We fight. Here, we fight the good fight of faith. And friends, I know for a fact that making sure that our families are well balanced, not just in meals, but in spiritual meals. We ought to fight for our families. If you are expecting, then you ought to be fighting for your children already while they're in the womb. If you already have children, you ought to be fighting for your children's mind to make sure that they have the mind of Christ, to make sure that they're doing what is right before God. And even when they make mistakes, that you fight for their lives even then. Oh, no, friends, we're not fighting with them. We're fighting for them. Number 2, principles of working. Go to Proverbs 6. Principles of working hard. Friends, when I consider this great passage of scripture, I love this passage. I hope that you'll fall in love with these passages of scripture as well. One thing that I am noticing, and I know that I'm not the only one that notices it, I'm noticing that many individuals are not teaching their children good work ethic, good work habits. God's people are to always be a people that work hard. Jesus in John 9 and verse number 4 says, I must work the work of him while it's day. When the night comes, no man can work. Jesus was a worker for the Lord. We have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, moral works. We are hard workers in Christ. We ought to be hard workers even on the job. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But here we see something that's very, very, very powerful. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, notice what your Bible here has to say. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer. She works in the summer. She gathers in the summer. She makes sure that she has everything she needs in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Meaning that when everything is up and is grown,
She takes it, talking about that ant. She takes it and she puts it in a locale, in a place where it'll stay until it's time to be used. And notice what he says, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? Talking about the lazy one. Will you rise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and you need like an armed man. Now notice, friends, I want to make this particular point that I think is very, very important for us. We have to teach not only ourselves, but our children good work ethic. Giving them chores at home. Watch out there now. Y'all don't crucify me yet. You gotta give your children some chores at home and teach them good work ethic, so they can grow up and they can be good workers in the society, that they can be an asset to a society and not a liability. That they'll grow up understanding that I am not going to do nothing in the church, that I'm going to be a worker in the church, that I'm going to labor hard in the church, and then you hold them accountable to that work. You know, it's all right to give them a specific job. And growing up, we had six kids in our house. I'm not talking about my family, but the one that I grew up in as a child. And all of us had a different job. And it was like clockwork. When one of them didn't do their job, it seemed like we all got lined up. I'm like, well, what did I do? I did my job. Well, you should have encouraged your brother to do his job. All right. That didn't make sense. But it started to make sense in Christ. Aren't we our brother's keeper? Aren't we to promote one another and provoke one another, Hebrews 10 and verse number 24, unto love and good works? Aren't we to encourage one another to fight the good fight? The answer is yes. And all of us ought to have a job, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And friends, I want to encourage us that if you're not working in the Lord's church, and I'm not talking about haphazardly, I'm not talking about every now and then, but if you don't have a specific job in the church, you ought to be saying to the elders, I need a job to do. I need a job to do. Do you have a job at home? If your children don't have a job to do at home, give them one. They will love you in the end. I know this for a fact because the proverbial writer brings these things out. In Proverbs 14 and verse number 4, notice what the Bible here says. This is a great passage of scripture right here, friend. This is a passage of scripture that I know for a fact that's not referred to on many accounts. Notice what your Bible here says. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. You know, when there's no oxen in the place where it's supposed to be working, or where there's oxen in the place where it's supposed to be working, then everything is going the way that it's supposed to go. But if there's no oxen there, things begin to grow up. Weeds begin to grow up. Things are not tilled like they needed to be. Oh, we ought to be oxen for the Lord. I got Bible for that. Y'all looking at me funny. Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. We ought to be yoked up with the Lord. Jesus is a great worker for his Father. And when we yoke up with Jesus, we'll work for the Father as well. We ought to be working for the Lord. And we ought to be teaching our children, teaching our families that we need to work for the Lord now while it's day. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse number 5. Notice what this passage says. Great wisdom in the book of Proverbs. He who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. The last thing we want to do is to teach our families, teach our children, teach the church to be lazy. If anything, we got enough of that in the world in which we live in. The church ought to be a great, powerful force of work in the community in which they are abiding in. Friends, that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be a people that are working hard. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse number 13. You think about the book of Proverbs. If anybody understood how to work, it ought to be Solomon. Solomon understood work. Solomon had workers himself. In Proverbs 22 and verse number 13, notice what the Bible here says. A lazy man says there's a lion outside. I'll be slain in the street.
Friends, think about this. Have you ever had somebody say, no, that works too hard. I think I'll just sit in air conditioning. That should not be us in the church. That should not be our families. Let's teach one another to stay busy, not to ever get lazy or complacent in our families, nor in the Lord's church. Proverbs 24, look at verses 30 through 34. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. Notice the fruit of a lazy man. But Abana, why do you keep pounding on this particular passage, on these passages? Because friends, I'm just willing to say what other folk are thinking. People are always saying, man, I just don't understand why people come to work, but they don't work. No, we want to be workers. He says, I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stones wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Friends, I know for a fact that God wants us to be a people who are always on the move, always on the go, always working, never complacent, never just saying, I'll do that tomorrow. Friends, we ought to be working. This makes some application as it relates to a principle. We ought to always be working. I don't care if you've been married 40 years on our marriages. It only takes one opportunity for you not to work on your marriage, and the next thing you know, you have problems with it. We should never give up on our children or siblings. We should never give up or stop working on our Christianity. We should always be working on our state of mind. We should always be pondering those things that are above Colossians 3. We should always be setting our houses in order like Hezekiah. We should always be adding to our faith like Peter said in 2 Peter 1. We should always be working on those things. Always. Never get complacent in your work of spirituality. Never, ever do that. Or the Bible teaches us in the book of Romans chapter 13, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him an opportunity to creep into your life and cause disruption, disturbance, and to destroy us. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. Turn to Proverbs 11. Look at verse 1. Friends, not only should we be working on our marriages, but working on our parental skills. Well, I raised 3 kids already. I got 2 more in the house. This is a snap. No, usually those last 2 are different than the first 3. That's how it is. I just love it when people say, I raised them all the same way. That's where you messed up. You don't raise your kids the same way. They have the same standard, no doubt, the Word of God and principles that come forth from the Word of God, but they're different attitudes and different mentalities and different understandings of the information that has been given to them. You got to take that into consideration. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. And no wonder elders ought to be men who understand people. And they ought to be men that have children and be men who have dealt with different attitudes and understandings and complexes. Why? Because you got that inside of the Lord's body. God's wisdom is powerful. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 1, notice what your Bible says as it relates to working, as it relates to being honest. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. Look at chapter 16, verse number 11, then we'll make some comments. Proverbs 16 and verse number 11. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. You know what we ought to be teaching our families, teaching our young kids, teaching one another? Always be honest in dealing business. When you work for an employer,
Your employer knows that you are a Christian and you're not going to smudge the books. You're not going to cheat on the cash register. You're not going to be a person who lacks integrity. This is what we ought to be teaching our children at a young age, that I'm not going to do what is right because mom and dad are looking. I'm going to do what's right because the all-seeing eye wants me to do that. Proverbs 15 verse 3. Friends, these are those things that have to be promoted in the home and then reinforced from the pulpit and in the Bible classes. We're saying the same thing that you're saying at home. Why? Because we need more families in the Lord's church to be that evangelistic tool without even saying a word. Wow, that's good teaching right there. That's good teaching. We have to teach our families. We have to teach our children. We have to remind one another as husband and wives never to get so comfortable that we lack our integrity. Honest scales. Friends, we want to do that. We want to make sure that we're not involved in situational ethics. That means that the situation determines the ethics. No, our ethics are always based upon what thus saith the Lord. If someone calls me and they say, I need you to do this job. Hey, I'm going to go out of town for a week. I'm going to give you the keys to my house. They ought to be able to trust you with that. And we're teaching those to our children. Oh, friends, we need to be learning these things. And this is what we learn from the book of Proverbs. Oh, it's easy to talk about sex and drugs and alcohol. Proverbs 20, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 5, it's easy to talk about those things, but those minute details that these passages that we just looked at in Proverbs 11 and verse 1 and Proverbs 16 and verse number 11, we have to teach those as well. It's all right to be a people of integrity. But Brother Bonner, you don't understand. Sometimes I struggle with those things. Well, join the club. Let's get with it. Let's teach our children that it's all right to stand out and be an honest, upright, moral, decent individual. Amen? It's all right to do that. It's all right to do that. Let's get a little technical with that. I wasn't going to go here, but I'll go here just because I think I need to go here. When it comes to our social medias, when it comes to things that we watch on television, things that we listen to on the radio, we need to have integrity. You know, the other day, I was in Colorado, and I was channel surfing. I came to a channel, and I went, I had to hurry up and get off of that. Maybe I was the only one that ever happens to. No, right. You know what integrity says? Keep flipping the channel. Also, integrity says, cut it off. Amen, friends. We have to have some integrity. We have to protect our soul. We have to protect our conscience. I was telling the young people yesterday, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Friends, we have to master integrity. We have to master adding to our faith. And friends, the Bible teaches us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, that we can do that. We can master it. We don't have to give in to those things that cause us to go astray, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, we don't have to be brought under the bondage of anything, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Friends, we can master those things that cause us to go astray. We have to teach our families that. That when our friends want to take us off in a direction that we know that God does not approve of. I didn't say your parents. I said God. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says, my son, if sinners entice you, don't consent with them. Leave them alone. Friends, we have to do that. We have to teach our children. If our children are not taught by us, then we leave it to the devil to teach them. We are the family of God. Number 3, which is my last point, which I think is probably one of the most important points. Not only should we be a people who are partakers and pursuers of righteousness,
principles of hard workers, but promoters of strong hearts. I want us to take our time and I want us to think about this. We need more families. Please hear this. We need more families like Jesus. Jesus was strong in mind. God the Father is strong in mind. The Spirit, He is strong in mind. And those who embody truth will be strong in mind. Let me prove that proposition. In Proverbs 20 and verse number 27. Proverbs 20 and verse number 27. Notice this very powerful passage. I remember when I was first told about this particular passage, and it wowed me. It wowed me because it actually showed me, and it shows us right now, that God is truly interested in us. Truly wants us to be a people of strength, a people of courage, a people of boldness. He wants us to be a people who doesn't fall off the edge because it seems as if the rug has been slipped out from among us. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 27, notice what your Bible says. The spirit, the soul of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Let's explain this. The spirit, the soul of a man, his heart, where he thinks, where he feels, where he chooses to act, his being. It is the lamp of the Lord. It is where God illuminates him. How? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. When we consider God's word and we consider the soul of man, here you got a lamp going inside of a lamp. And it's lighting you up, leading your way. Thus causing you to be strong. I have more Bible for that. You're looking funny. I'll go ahead and give you some more. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 17, we understand that Christ dwells in us by faith. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How am I made strong in the lamp in which God has given me? By faith. In Ephesians 6 and verse number 10, there the Bible teaches us to be strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. Should we be teaching our children that their strength is not in, that their strength is in the Lord and not necessarily in how much they can bench? Or how witty they are? Or some type of academic achievement? Shouldn't we be teaching them where their strength lies? The same place where the Holy Book teaches us where it lies. It lies in their soul because of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That's where the strength is. That's where the light is. Friends, in Acts chapter 14, let's read verses 19 through 22, and then we'll come back to the book of Proverbs. In Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 22, I want us to look at this illustration of strength. And friends, I know for a fact that it takes time to get to this point. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not condemning any family. I want to encourage our families. I want to encourage us. You may be a single mother, a single father. You may have mother and father in the home. You may be a single child. You may have all types of problems in your life. But I do know this, that you can have the strength of the Word of God, because the Word of God is what gives us strength. In Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 22, notice the strength displayed by this man of God. Acts chapter 14, starting at verse number 19 through verse number 22. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there,
And having persuaded the multitude, notice what they did. They stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Braswell, look at this passage here. However, when the disciples gathered around him, who's him? The one that was supposed to be dead, the one that was drugged, the one that was stoned, Paul. He rose up, went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, hold on. You know what most people would have done after being stoned and drugged and left for dead? They would have given up. You know what we have to teach our children and teach our husbands and teach our wives and teach our families and teach the church? That you don't give up, you keep going. Yeah, we need more men with backbone. Maybe you didn't grow up with a father. Or maybe you grew up with a father who was a tyrant. Or maybe you grew up with a father who was just passive. I don't care. This is what we care about. You can go to God. He's the best father you'll ever have, and he can help you through anything. Because that's the God that we serve. That's the strength that we have. And you know, it's unfortunate that even in the church, many of us don't believe that. Paul did. Paul did not allow the stoning, the dragging, the beating to be left for dead to keep him on the sideline. No, sir. No, ma'am. He got up and he and Barnabas went back to preaching the word of God. The very thing that got him in that situation is the very thing he went back to doing. That's powerful right there. I feel like shouting up in here. You know, we'll shout at old sorry Dallas Cowboys, but we'll shout for the word of God and let you do what you want to with that. Proverbs 18, let's go back to the Bible. As I close, we need more men. We have reared a society of strong women, but our men, we need more strong men with strong minds. That attitude and that mentality, I'm going to take care of my family. If anybody breaks in my house, I'm going to be the one that's going to go up front. I gotta confess. Good night. That was a few weeks ago, Brother Dennis. I was sitting on the little bench in my living room and it was real late. I'm talking about real late. Somebody knocked on the door. Who is that? This is real late. Go to the door. And I open it, and Michaela and Micah right there. I open it so they see me. I'm like, I said, man, this should have been me at the door. But I opened the door and let my kids answer it. I said, Mike, don't do that. I felt pretty weak after that, y'all. I had to confess that so I'm not up here preaching real strong. And then my kids know, man, that ain't what Dad did. But that was, I told my kids, I'm like, I'm sorry about that. I said, man, if they just came in and started grabbing you, I'd be like, I don't know, man. Well, I hope I would have. You know, seriously, men, we need to be strong. We need to be strong and teach our families the word of God. We teach them trades. We teach them ethics and how to conduct themselves in society. But we need to teach them what God says. And friends, we can't slack on that. We need more of that. As I close, Proverbs 18, verse 14. Notice this powerful verse. And friends, this ought to help us right here. As families, as the church, even help our society, because our society ought to be able to see us implementing and applying the word of God, thus giving God the glory. Proverbs 18 and verse number 14. Notice what your Bible says. The spirit of a man, same language that we saw in Proverbs 20 and verse 27, will sustain him, will keep him strong, will keep him at bay. Notice, in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? Let me say this. Don't break your kids' spirit. Encourage your kids. Strengthen your children. Help them to be what God would have them to be.
Sometimes that's correcting them. Sometimes that's spanking them. Sometimes that's putting them in a corner for a little bit. Sometimes that's causing them to go sit down for a little while to think about what they have done. Friends, that's not a foreign concept to the people of God. God sent his people into captivity. You know why? Go think about what you did. That's the Bible. You're not going to hurt them. You hurt them by not disciplining them. You hurt them by not teaching them. You hurt them by not loving them. Let's love our children. Let's love our families. And let's love the society that we love, that we live in, and help them to see that it is all right to implement and apply the standard of God. Proverbs 24 and verse number 5. Notice this passage. Give me two or three more minutes and the lesson is yours. In Proverbs 24 and verse number 5. A wise man, friends, is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Wisdom comes forth from the word. Wisdom comes forth from listening. Wisdom hushes their mouth and they hear what God has to say. In verse number 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Notice these powerful points that Solomon brings up for us. Friends, we don't need to be families that fall apart just over something small or a period of time that things have collected because we haven't dealt with them. And then we crumble. No, we hang in there and we strive to be the people of God who are strong, that those on the outside can see that these people are truly appliers of the word of God. Friends, it's one thing to say that you're a Christian. There's another thing to be strong like one. We have to reinforce these things. And we need to teach these things. And we need to allow the book of Proverbs to be our guide at times. Great wisdom in this book. And friends, I know for a fact that this is a process. This is something that has to be developed. Those of us who have been in the church for a long period of time and have developed this spiritual strength, oh, let's be strong and allow those who don't have that spiritual strength to grow. Sometimes those of us who are strong and seemingly strong want to come down on those who are weak. Shame on us. Let us not do that. In other words, let us be humble. And let us realize, as Paul said in Titus chapter 3, for we ourselves were once foolish, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. But when the kindness and love of God appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And friends, that's the type of people that we ought to be, that when God has grown us up, we look down to reach down and help our brothers and sisters to come up as well. What a great God we serve. A great God that we serve that came down in all strength to save those who were weak because of sin. Oh, many occasions he could have condemned and he could have said, you die now, but that's not what he did. The first time Jesus came, he came to save. The next time Jesus comes, he comes to judge. Which side do you want to be on? Hopefully you'll want to be on the side of the saved. That when the judgment comes and you stand before God, you'll stand before God in the blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, I cannot stress this point enough right here. If you don't hear no other point, hear this point here. If you have had your sins washed away, if you are walking in the Spirit according to the Scriptures, Galatians 5, friends, let's live like that.
And let's be the people of God and the families of God that God has called us to be, with all of our problems and all of our concerns and all of our mistakes and all of our mishaps, and let's continue to be what God would have us to be. And I know for a fact God will get the glory, and we just might save one or two people along the way. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. The only way you can become a child of God is through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. You want to be strong? Deny yourself and say, it's not about me. It's about my Lord. It's about serving Him. The only way you can serve God, Hebrews chapter 8, you have to have sin rid out of your life. And you do that by obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the very appearance of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:1-9. When you obey that gospel, Paul said it's the power of God unto salvation. When you obey that gospel, God will add you to His Son's church, Acts 2:47. When you obey that gospel, you live faithful unto death. You'll hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. What's holding you back from obeying the gospel? What's holding you back? Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been strong. You haven't been strong for your family, your wife, your husband, your children, your mother, your father. Let's make up our minds right now. If you need help, spiritual help, emotional help, psychological help, financial help, if you need help to get strong, let us help you. So all of us can be the people of God that God desires for us to be, and then watch people come to Christ because they see strength, and not because of our own will, not because of our own ability, not because of our own strength, but because of the strength of Almighty God. That's what the strength is. You want to be strong? Get in Christ, stay in Christ as we stand, sing the Savior's invitation.